This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
If you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB. You can go to Facebook Live. That's facebook.com/WESB1075. Or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com like this gentleman did.
Yeah. Okay. So this gentleman, Ken, sent us a picture even. And this is a picture of some of the shrubs in the front of my son's house. And as you can see, they are uneven at the top. Can we cut the tops to be the same height as the middle ones? The middle ones are the short ones. And trim the sides to be more square. So he realizes some of them may be bare. They would grow back in time. So I'll tell you, Ken, looking at your picture, shorten the center and then going tall to the outside. A couple ways that you can attack this problem. I wouldn't trim back the taller ones to the height of the shortest one totally, because you would be removing a lot of the plant. What you can do is cut back partway to the shortest one. Let the shortest one start to grow up a little bit to match that height. You know, it's a process. A lot of landscaping, it's a process that takes years. Don't try to do it all in 1 year. So trim the taller ones down a little bit. Let the shorter one grow up a little bit. With all landscaping, it's a process, you know. Plants have their own time of doing things, and so you have to be patient. Don't try to create exactly what you're looking for right off the bat. Give the plants a chance. So trim back those taller ones. Let the shorter one grow up. And be careful you don't trim too much of these off. Now, I can see from the picture they're evergreens, and I'm going to assume they're probably the evergreen named yew or taxus, a real popular evergreen for landscapes. And they do take the pruning a lot, but again, I would be patient. Let those shorter ones grow up a bit. Don't do too much pruning to them. And I know he wants to square them off, and that can be done. Little by little, don't go attacking it totally to make it all look good to your eye that very first time you trim it. And now is a good time to prune those evergreens. They go through little growth spurts here and there. And they're going through a growth spurt now, so it's an excellent time to trim because they'll respond to that trimming very well. So that you can do a little trimming now. They'll grow in and fill in quickly in a plant's time. Okay. They'll grow in quickly. Now, if you waited till winter time, which a lot of people recommend, wait till winter time, they're going to look like they've just been trimmed the whole winter then. So I like to do it during their growth spurt, and that's going to be from now, early spring right on up to about July 4th. Then they really slow down. So any trimming you do after July 4th, is going to look like you trimmed them the rest of the year.
Okay.
And that can be a rough look. But, again, be patient as a gardener because plants respond real slow. Just take your time, and maybe it may take a couple years to get them all to match the same height.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks for that question, though, Ken.
And if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call. Well, you can do what Ken did and send us an email at garden@WESB.com. Or you can call us at 368-9372, 368-WESB. Or you can go to Facebook Live. That's facebook.com/WESB1075. And for people who are on Facebook Live, they see an array of beautiful plants here.
Yes, but I'm going to try and explain them as best I can for the people that aren't watching. And again, I'm going to talk about cemetery plantings. Last week, I talked about cemetery plantings with some of the great annuals that you can plant. Now, some of the trend, though, is going towards perennials. so they don't have to buy those annuals and plant every year. And I brought in a selection of the perennials that I like the best in the cemeteries, and I've tried them all. And so I'm going to go through them little by little. And these, you'll notice too, are all shorter perennials, because that's important. You know, we don't want to cover up the headstone mm-hmm. and overpower the headstone. So these are all shorter ones. That's kind of important. So I'll start out the first one here. This probably catches everybody's eye, this real colorful one. It's called Coral Bells to most of us, or the botanical name is Heuchera. And this will grow in the sun or the shade. And I'm going to talk about both. You know, you got shady cemeteries, and then you have sunny cemeteries. But I'm going to start out with the sun. So the Heuchera is a good one. And it is going to flower. It's probably pretty hard to see. It's going to throw up some flowers, but it's more known for its colorful foliage. And it's going to come in a huge variety of different colors. This yellow one is one, and so is this dark maroon one, a Heuchera or Coral Bell. And they both make excellent plants for the cemetery. Sun or shade, doesn't matter. So that's an excellent choice. And, of course, one of my favorites, because they just survive no matter what the conditions, is a daylily. And, again, they can come in different colors. This one in particular is called Pardon Me Daylily. It's a deep burgundy-colored daylily. A lot of people, when they think of daylilies, they think of the yellow blossoms mm-hmm. or the orange blossoms. But they do come in burgundy. They even come in a purple. And, of course, a lot of different types of yellows, a bright yellow and a orangey yellow. So the daylily is a great one. Now, that's just for sun. And, of course, you can plant that, and it's going to be there for the next 100 years and just get bigger and better. Not taller, but this is what they call a dwarf reblooming daylily.
Oh, okay.
That's important to go through that, too, because there are daylilies that get quite tall, can get waist tall. But the dwarf ones rarely get over knee high.
Okay.
So that's an excellent choice for the cemeteries. And this one here, I got one of my favorites here, Salvia, because this is a perennial that acts like an annual. It wants to bloom the whole season. Although it's a real hardy perennial, it's going to come back year after year, no matter what you do. And it's one of those ones that the deer and the rabbits really don't like a lot. It has quite a minty scent to the leaves, and they dislike that. And now this one can come in other colors, too. It can come in this neat mauve color here, or it can come in a dark purple, a light purple.
You had that last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Okay. As an annual. There's an annual salvia, too.
Okay.
But this is a perennial salvia. And how you tell the salvias is their stems are square.
Oh.
And that means they're in the mint family, and the salvia is in the mint family. Now, when I say they're in the mint family, they don't take over and spread out all over the yard. They'll stay pretty close to where you planted them. They will increase their size. I don't want to say multiply. They'll increase their size a bit, but they won't take over a whole bed.
Okay.
So this is Salvia, and this one here is called Rose Marvel. It's or some people call them Sage. So that's a real good one for the sunny headstone in the cemetery. And, of course, one of the most popular ones and ones that I would recommend first, even, the hosta. Now, I know a lot of people are going to cringe when I say hosta. This is a dwarf hosta. And matter of fact, this is one of my favorite, Golden Tierra hosta. So it has green and yellow in its leaves. It's very compact, very dwarf. And the blossoms don't go up 2 or 3 feet high. They stay low to the plant.
Oh, okay.
So even after the blossoms are gone, it's not really a distraction that those stems that are still there. But you can trim off those stems. After the blossoms are done, you should just cut off those stems. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you reach down in and cut them off or just cut them off at the height of the plant. But this is a real good one, and there are many more dwarf hostas. ones that stay low and compact and don't spread out like crazy, that are real easy to control.
Okay.
And again, this is for the sun, but also can be grown in the shade. Hostas are very versatile. I know that a lot of books and websites and so on say for the shade garden, get hostas. You know, when they grow hostas in these big nurseries where there's tens of thousands of them, they're all in the sun. Hostas tolerate the shade. They're not really a shade plant. They tolerate the shade.
Okay.
So they can be grown in the sun, but they can be grown in the shade too.
All right.
So that's for the sunny part and some of the shade.
So are the dwarf hostas like the full size ones in the way that you really can't do, you can't kill them?
Yeah, you can't kill them. That's,
oh, okay.
That's why they're so great up in the cemetery. All these plants, really, you plant them, water them in, and basically you can forget about them forever.
Okay.
They're going to just come back year after year, and look great for you.
That's a good thing in the
it
in
is.
The cemetery.
It is indeed.
Because
yeah.
as you get older, you don't want to, you don't, can't.
Yeah.
And don't spend as much time up there as you would like. So.
And another hint, if you end up, these are kind of large perennials, but if you end up getting those real smaller perennials, you can fill in for the first year or two with a couple annuals until these get bigger and start to take over that whole space that you you have in front of the headstone
okay.
or beside the headstone.
All right.
Couple more, though, Anne.
Okay, I'm ready.
I got a real short cord here.
So, okay. Oh, this one's pretty. Okay, now that's me.
Okay. So, here's another hosta, which kind of a bluish-green leaf to it. Another dwarf hosta. I have to look here, because there's thousands of different hostas. And, oh boy, I can't even pronounce that. Halicon hosta?
Oh, I don't know. Halcyon.
Halcyon, okay.
Yeah.
Another dwarf hosta where the blossoms don't get real tall. They stay low to the plant. Again, can be grown in the sun or in the shade. So that's another excellent one. And last here is what we call a stilbe, or astilbe, whatever way you want to pronounce it. This one here likes to be in the shade. And, of course, it's a little early yet, but it will start blooming any day now. Nice, beautiful blossoms. You can get them in red, pink, white. This one's a white one. It makes a great plant for that shady area in the cemetery.
Okay.
And you can also notice all the different leaf textures here. This one here is kind of a fine texture. The hostas, of course, being a big leaf with a coarser texture, it really helps to mix it up when you're planting. And it looks a whole lot better when you mix the textures together.
Okay.
So not only do you get pretty blossoms, but you can it just looks good because of different textures and different leaf sizes. So those are some of my choices for the perennial cemetery planting.
Okay, so now people have lots of choices for this weekend, or they can think what they're going to do and like plan what they're going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and it's always a good idea, like you always say. I mean, not just to plan your garden at home, but plan what you're going to do at the cemetery too.
I forgot one really important thing though. Before you plant these perennials at the headstone, maybe get some daffodils, or you can even do it later. Put some daffodils in there, and then you can plant the perennials right on top of them or right beside them, because the daffodils will be the first thing up in the spring, so it looks really nice. And as the daffodils start to die back, the perennials start to come back and fill in, and it makes for a real long season of bloom in the cemetery that way.
Okay. All right. So everybody should have beautiful cemeteries,
yeah.
cemetery
yeah.
plots this year. That'll be great. So if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368 WESB 368-9372. You can go to facebook.com/ WESB 1075, or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com.
Give your lawn a healthy head start with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find varieties of grass seeds for every use, plus 10-10-10 fertilizers, mulches, and limes. And don't forget the seed spreaders, handheld sizes for the small jobs and push models for the bigger ones. You'll also find a nice selection of garden seeds, patio blocks, and railroad ties at just $14.99 each. Ready for a new mower? See Worth Smith for a great deal on a new Toro mower. If you need it for spring, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
We are back on The Gardening Show with Bob Harris. And if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372. That's 368-WESB. Or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com. And as soon as I get us back up, you can go to Facebook Live, facebook.com/ WESB 1075. We'll be back up there in just a minute or two. So what else are we going to talk about today, Bob?
Okay. Great time now to start the garden, roll-to-till plant, anything you want to plant, the annuals, the perennials, the trees, shrubs, your lawn, anything you want to plant now. Get the soil mixed up, add some amendments. It's the best time when you're preparing the soil. It's real important to try to add some amendments to the soil to make it better and better, because you really only get that one chance. Once you have it planted, then it's going to be hard to amend the soil. You can still do it, you know, by putting amendments on top. And over the years, the rains take those amendments down in, and it incorporates it into the soil. But to really get off to a good start, get your amendments in there, till it or spade it over or fork it over, whichever way you want to do, and that gets it down in deep and ready for the plant to take advantage of all those amendments right away.
Okay. If you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB. You can send us an email at garden@WESB.com, or you can send us, or you can go to Facebook Live, facebook.com/ WESB 1075. And there we go. I have a question for you. Last week you mentioned something about the full moon.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us what that was all about?
Yeah, I had a bet with a lady, and I've had these bets several times through the past, that they always say the last full moon in May, you know, there's going to be a frost. But we didn't even get close. And, you know, I really can't remember the last time we had a frost with the last full moon in May. It's really an old wives' tale. I know the moon can affect, you know, the oceans and certain things on Earth, but it does not affect the frost in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, so I got you, Linda, didn't I? One more thing, though. What was I going to talk about? Oh, gosh, I forget now.
Oh, man. Gosh, I took your...
Oh, yes, I know. Oh, I remember.
All right.
Pretty important, I'm sorry for advertising here a bit, but... we're going to be doing a little planting class at Graham's Greenhouse coming up, where you're going to plant a combination planter. And, you know, we're going to have planters there, a 10-inch planter. And we're going to show you a couple different theories and a couple different ways on how to plant a nice planter that you can put on your porch, deck, or outside anywhere. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really small cost for the class, but you're going to take home a planter that you built yourself with a little help from us.
That's Wednesday, right?
I don't know exactly. It probably is.
I'm pretty sure it's Wednesday from 6 to 7:30,
Yeah, 6 to 7, yep.
It's on our community calendar.
Oh, good.
It doesn't have all that information, because I didn't know all that information when I put it up there. But, yeah, it's up on our community calendar. It just says container gardening, but that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, or we're going to help you through, or you're going to build your own the way you like it. Of course, I'm going to give you my way of doing things and tell you other theories of other people, like the Proven Winners people. And then you can decide what you want to do, and we'll help you through planting it so you can have your own personal touch. But, you know, I really want you to think about when you're doing this. I talked about this a few weeks ago about symbolism, you know, and if heart disease is real important in your family and you want to show that, you know, maybe think about a bunch of pink plants in there symbolize that, and every time you look at it, you'll think about it. Or friends and neighbors will say, well, you know, why did you do all pink in that pot? And then you can tell them and get other people interested in it. So think about some symbolism, you know, and it doesn't have to be about heart disease. It can be anything, you know. I had one customer that wanted to, it was an email here that wanted to plant a different color for all the kids' birthstones.
Yes, yeah.
Anything like that, you know, anything that gives you some symbolism. So it doesn't just look pretty, it means something to you.
And it's a great conversation starter if somebody wants to know why you have what you have. And
yep.
I didn't even think about doing anything like that until Bob started talking about it. And now I do it every time I put a new container together. I think about what I'm doing and why I'm doing
it. Good, because there should be more to it. So if you're coming to class, now's the time to start thinking about that, what kind of symbolism you want to put into it. You know, and I'm going to talk about it during the class, too, and kind of push you that way. I'd like to see a lot more of that, because it just has a lot more meaning than just pretty flowers together.
Right. Is Bill going to be there, too?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Of course. I hope if you haven't talked to Bill Graham about plants and stuff, I mean, he knows so much. He knows everything there is to know.
That's for sure. Yeah.
So he's a good guy to talk to, and he's fun.
He is. Yeah.
So guy. I'm not just saying that because I know he listens to the show. I'm saying that because I really like Bill Graham. Good morning. Do you have a question for Bob?
I do. I would like to know if he has any information on how you can destroy Pachysandra that has taken over everything?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I know. I've been working on it for years, and I don't seem to have any kind of a solution that is permanent.
Yeah, it's hard work. You got to dig out a good 4 inches deep. This is one way, 4 inches deep to make sure you get all those roots. And then to stop it from spreading out again, you've got to put some kind of barrier there. Now, a lot of times it just means the edge around your garden, deep edge, and fill it full of mulch. That can slow up. It won't, nothing where it's going to stop it. But it's a great ground cover. I love it. So that's one way. Another way is, and this can be risky because it's all the roots can lead to each other, is using a herbicide like Roundup to spray to keep it in check. Or better yet, if you don't want to kill the grass, then use what they would call Weed Be Gone. It'll kill off the Pachysandra, but it won't harm your lawn.
Weed Be Gone?
Yeah, Weed Be Gone.
Okay, I tried putting down that black plastic on top of it, and that didn't seem to work. The only thing I found that worked was if I laid down like an old shower curtain on top of it and weighted it down for a while, but that was only temporary. So it's really terrible. It takes over everything.
Well, I wouldn't call it terrible. It's a great ground cover.
I have a term for it, and I won't say it on the air.
Okay, good. Thanks. But yeah, usually though, that deep edge, you know, when you edge your bed.
Yes.
That usually works. That will control it. Now, you can't just do it once and forget about it for the next 20 years. You have to re-edge every so many years.
Okay, I've been fighting this for almost 20 years.
Okay.
It was a gift that keeps on giving, I guess. It has taken over. It is so invasive.
It can be. That's why, and that's one of the reasons it makes it such a great ground cover, because it spreads and fills in a hurry.
Well, it does fill in. It fills in, yes. You're right, it does. Okay, I will try the, boy, I'm going to better get started today because it'll take me till the end of the summer to just get it out.
That's all right.
Thank you so much.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So if you have a question for Bob during the week, you can send us an email at garden@wesb.com. You can call me, too. I'll talk to you and send your question on to Bob, but not Monday. I won't be here Monday. So everybody have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks
Bob.
And-